I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry's out till tomorrow. Producer T. Scott behind the window. And, of course, next to me, the one, the only, Nick Sciarra. Tom Tum is joining me. For a little fun. Did it Monday, doing it again today as we continue to roll on. Like I said, El Jefe, impress us. I mean, for all the time that you waste our time, you might as well start getting some great videos and things set up as you tweet Josh Reddick to try and get him on weekly. I mean, do something.
Is he helping the cause or is he hurting the cause, El Jefe?
It's a great question because I ask that daily.
Sometimes he's when he talks his Spurs, he gets a little... I guess he gets a little homerish sometimes.
Salty, that's the word we use around here.
Or is he a realistic guy and I'm criticizing?
I compare El Jefe to Trey in a lot of ways because there's sometimes that he brings good to the table and funny, humorous stuff, and then other times that he just flat out goes the other way.
His quick wits, like his timing is good, especially when it comes down to those, you know, photos. It's not like, I'm sure they didn't take him an incredibly long time to edit those photos, but he is pretty quick about...
He has an incredibly long time on his hands.
That's true.
Let's put it this way.
Well, I think he's a youngin', right? He's probably like 22, 23. I think he's still in school, isn't he?
He drives an unmarked squad car. He can do whatever he
wants. Oh, it's El Jefe that does that?
Yes.
They drive... Oh, I thought it was...
El Jefe.
Oh, I thought it was Dr. Dran 290.
I don't know what Dr. Dran 290 drives, and I'm very happy to announce that.
Good.
So there you have... But
I hate those squad
El Jefe,
cars, though.
Come on, man. Dude drives free, gets the discount, even though he's not a police officer. That's the way he rolls. Literally, that's how he rolls.
I would take advantage of the discount if I can actually get the discount from rolling around in an old squad car. I wouldn't be ashamed
to
take the discount.
Don't be pulling over people and looking for favors, if you know what I mean.
I just hate it because I'm always speeding, and when I see an old squad car, I have to like slam the brakes, make sure it's not a cop, then continue on my.
And sometimes you've been wrong, and therefore you've had tickets, and then you've had to get out of them.
Yeah. I always push the brakes only when I see the cop. It has to be like a...
You absolutely surprised no one with that comment.
I know. That's fine. And look, Barry is just... Look, you haven't sat in the passenger seat of Barry driving. Barry Lambert.
I'm very happy about that.
He's just as bad as I am, sober. Like, I've seen him drive to the stadium, and I was scared. He deliberately...
Did you do the fake pumping on the floorboard like you actually like had about, the brake pedal?
I just held on to the, what is it, the OS bomb bars?
Yeah.
That's all I did.
Like scared dads do when they're teaching their kids driver's ed, and they're like pumping the floorboards with their feet, like thinking they have a brake pedal?
It's Midtown. It's like an Astros game. Security dude is directing traffic. The guy looks at Barry, puts his hand out and says, stop, do not turn left. What does Barry do? He turns left. Just completely disregards the guy.
Just salty.
Like, I wouldn't do that. Even I wouldn't do that.
I don't know. You might.
One morning, whenever I was still producing Game Day, there was I think it was either a marathon or a bike ride going around the city. And he was just like, I almost ran this guy over because he was he was in my lane. And it's like, I had to try and clip him. It's like,
Had to try and clip him.
No. That's the mentality you want behind the wheel
for a truck that big and powerful too, man. Dude, like, and the way he drives, it's scary, man. It really is. At least my car is small. I do agree with you that because of the bumper that I refused to fix,
right?
It does help a little bit, but
a little.
A little. I don't think
people look in the side view or rear view mirror and see your bumper half hanging off and go, this crazy psycho dude is going to hit me regardless.
I don't think they look at it and say, I have absolutely nothing to lose. It's just, he's.
I didn't say absolutely nothing to lose, but they said, crazy psycho dude is going to hit me, especially since he's already going 95. You drive diagonally more than you do north and south.
Only when I'm trying to get on 59 when I go home.
So once you get on, until you get in that far left lane, and even that's not good enough for you, it literally is like a word search. You go diagonal and back and all.
Traditionally, you go to the left lane because people are supposed to drive fast in the left lane.
Not here, they don't.
So I go all the way to the left lane. Then I realize, like I do every day, that the person in the left lane is driving 60 miles an hour. So I start swerving back. I don't care, man. If you're on the highway, you got to be driving 65, 70. Go with the flow of traffic.
Swerve back. Swerve back.
No, you don't.
Okay, Joe. I got it.
Not necessarily swerving, but just keep up with the flow of traffic. That's all I'm saying.
Boys, I want to tell you what I teased last segment. Story, it's a little disturbing. Police in Tokyo say they've arrested a 61-year-old delivery man on suspicion of stealing women's underwear and said they had found more than 1,000 items of women's lingerie and clothing at the man's home. According to police, Yasushi Kobayashi has admitted to the charge, said he's been stealing women's underwear and stockings for the past 20 years because he liked to wear them ever since he was young.
What? Okay, I guess I can kind of see him stealing it just because there's a bunch of creeps out there. But why have you wanted to wear them since you were a kid?
You're a kid. Because I think that there are issues there, Nick, that we can't quite get to the crux of.
What? Why not just buy some? If you like wearing
them. Because maybe he doesn't want to spend the money and he's still got access to get them. I mean, look, dude's got over 1,000 items. He's been doing something to get them.
Sexy lingerie is expensive. I mean, the profit margins on lingerie must be insane. It's like this much material and it's like $50.
So it says here, Kobayashi said that while making deliveries in his truck, he would often steal lingerie that had been hung out to dry on balconies, from washing machines and coin laundries and clotheslines. Police said he was identified by street surveillance camera footage, which showed him getting back into his truck after stealing items in April. It was a good run. 20 years is a long time. And the panty snatcher had over 1,000 items, and they have a picture on Barstool. Crazy.
There's probably a place for him in the Guinness Book of World Records, like most panties stolen or something.
Yeah, it's probably a place in prison for him, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. In Tokyo. I'm pretty sure the prisons there suck.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too gung-ho about going there. See what I did there?
I did see what you did there.
I wouldn't. Nice. Gung-ho. Yeah. Also, because my wife is a key contributor to the show, and she knows that the in-depth, just deep thinking that goes on with listeners and the people that participate in this show, she's passed on some stories that she thought might be appropriate for our show. Can I tell you that a Harvard study says that masturbating daily lowers men's risk for prostate cancer? Who knew? And maybe some of you did. I was not one of those people. It says regular orgasms can reduce the risk of prostate cancer. A study has found men who ejaculate more regularly throughout their lives lower their risk of the disease. Researchers from the Harvard Medical School, so it's a high upstanding institution, did not explain why orgasms could lower prostate cancer risk. However, it has been previously theorized that regular orgasms may flush out cancer-causing chemicals in the prostate.
Men don't need to be seeing these articles. Men please themselves enough. They don't need to be looking at this article. And
I actually did see, I guess it was Men's Health. I follow them on Facebook, and that article popped up. I'm like, read this and see what this is about. But they're saying there's no like magic number to.
I also saw an article that says that men benefit from sex more than women. But if men have sex 3 or more times per week, it can lower cardiovascular and heart-related disease as well because the men put more into it and therefore are getting more out of it.
I've heard that.
That makes sense.
I've heard that. I've heard a lot of, that's why you hear a lot of, like, sometimes celebrities are caught, like, they literally have a heart attack while they're having an orgasm and they're, like, at a massage parlor. Like, what is that big website? It's, like, the biggest independent, WorldStar.
WorldStar,
the founder of WorldStar. He literally passed away, I think, 2 months ago.
What?
It was he was at a massage parlor and he had a heart attack. And it's not the first time that you've heard about that. It's very common to have a heart attack. You can literally have a heart attack from just being
pleased.
So
you're saying Charlie Sheen should be very concerned about...
Sheen has so many concerns right now.
Yeah,
he kind of does. God. I mean, that guy, that talk about an epic fall with Charlie Sheen. But yeah, I mean, I've heard that. There's multiple cases of that. It's actually not very uncommon to have like cardiovascular issues when you're being pleased. So
it also says the other theory behind this is that if sperm is regularly cleaned out, it allows new cells to develop. So it stops the buildup of old cells that might be more likely to turn cancerous.
I'm sure there's both sides. I mean, you can daily might not be a bad thing, but doing it too much could be a bad thing. I'm sure it's both
this
sides.
This from the driver and the conductor.
I'm just saying.
Of the bang bus.
You know who dove into this topic?
Who?
Love and Laughter with Beth. I think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Did Deldo have an opinion?
I'm sure he did.
Well, this upcoming Saturday, she talks to him about his thoughts on it, but last week. She had a guy who is the product developer for a prostate massager, which it was an interesting listen.
Itchy trigger finger.
I had to help record the whole thing.
And Dell actually graciously accepted one of those as a sample?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Because this is the guy that said when we had a remote that went bad, Tyler, and Barry and I had to get back to the station. He had to cover that he was angry because he couldn't go to the Buc-ee's and take care of business and do what he likes to do when he's off the air because he had to be on the air filling in for us. So I hope that his prostate tickler or whatever it is helps get him over that. That's all I can say.
I'm definitely asking him about that when he gets back. I'm assuming he's on vacation because I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, because otherwise...
Yeah, I think he comes back next Tuesday.
Dr.
Yeah.
Delicious and his Deldo bag and what do they call him?
Deldo Barebackins.
Deldo Barebackins.
That's got to be a Salisbury nickname.
Oh, it totally is. Yeah.
Anything bareback, that's Salisbury right
and
there.
And Deldo. That's not my name. Oh, that's not my name. So I take it that he'll be back in time to be in the saddle for Beth's show on Saturday night?
Yes.
There you go. So call in and ask him about the itchy trigger finger or just make sure Dell talks about it when he gets back. We'll take a quick break. We're going to continue with a whole lot more. If there's something on your mind, please feel free to share. 713-780-3776. That's the text and call line, HR&P listener line, as the case may be. And also, you can reach us on Twitter at Producer T. Scott, at The Producer Nick, and the only one that's not a producer, I guess in a lot of ways, is at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Lemonade is a popular drink and it still is. Woo! Survival of the litest. To really upburst up in your business.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Tyler, Nick, Joel, usual suspects, easy for me to say, till 4. So we continue to roll on. Who's in for the blitz today?
I'm going to make
the blitz.
Are they back?
They're back.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, good.
Okay. Because I promoted them yesterday and then they weren't in.
Yeah, Fred and Davis. The day before yesterday.
The HD show.
It's all good.
Fred and Henry.
Fred and AJ back from 4 to, what is it?
4 to 7.
4 to 7, yeah.
4 to 7.
How did I not know that? It's a 3-hour show.
You get on this side of the window and it all gets discombobulated.
Initially, I kept giving it 4 hours. Like, I kept saying 4 to 8, and I don't know why, and I realized it's only a 3-hour program, but whatever.
David Aldridge reporting now that because the Clippers have lost both J.J. Redick and Jamal Crawford, they're in talks with the Grizzlies to try and obtain offensive powerhouse Tony Allen. No. I don't know. I don't see any logic in that. Tony Allen is one of the guys that used to be one of the best on-ball defenders in the league. He has always had a 25-letter alphabet with no J in it, so it'll be interesting to see
how
that works out.
Right, I was just
going to
say, his shot has kind of slipped, right?
You can't slip when you've never had one. So he's never had it? And it can't get up, as far as I've
not even a, like, consistent, like, inconsistency where he's kind of going on a run of good shots and then...
He's consistently straight garbage from outside of 10 feet, in my opinion. One of the best defensive players in the league and has been for a long time. Two, a guy you want on your side in a dark alley or anywhere else,
right,
and you never want to piss him off along with Zach Randolph.
See, at least a guy like Beverly, he's been able to, and I know he's no longer a Rocket, but at least a guy like him, he was able to kind of transform his offensive game. He made a name for himself defensively, but this year he kind of picked it up on offense. You know, I don't see why Tony Allen just strikes me as a guy that could potentially do that. Like, I don't see why he can't work on his shot. You know, if Patrick
Beverly, say he's a no-nonsense guy, so you put him in the locker room and you probably avoid a lot of the Chris Paul factor because you will get a guy that's not very vocal, but when he speaks, everybody listens.
Right.
That might help them kind of bridge the gap from the departure of Chris Paul and how many people he's ticked off.
No, I get you.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. And Springer hit another bomb last night for the Astros. So he was closing in, as the announcer said. And dang it, I should have taken shots at Blummer, even though he wasn't doing the game. Springer was within two bombs of Aaron Judge. Not the case anymore. Aaron Judge is basically blowing up records now.
At 29 right now. I think he's
homered at least once today against the Blue Jays. The Yankees currently clinging to a 7-6 lead, but that kid is ridiculous. You hope he's more than a one-hit wonder. I should actually get with Adam Rank and see if Aaron Judge could be the next Mike Trout.
He ties Joe DiMaggio's Yankees rookie home run record. It only took him 81 games.
Tyler or Nick, do you know who holds the Astros record for most home runs before the All-Star break in any one season? And what number?
Do not know. I'm going to leave that one to Tyler.
I'm just going to guess Biggio.
Close. It was a killer bee, but it was not Biggio or Bagwell.
Derek, what's his name?
Derek Bell?
No, killer bee, though. None other than Lance Berkman, 29 bombs before the break,
you know,
and I believe 09.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah. So Springer closing in on that. And the home run derby field is set. No George Springer in it. He said it's not my thing and it could affect my swing. See what I did there? It's almost like I was back with the Rockets. Your thoughts on Springer not participating in what looks to be, other than Stanton and I believe Judge, not a very compelling lineup. I know Mike Moustakas might draw some heartstrings of some people around here. But overall, not real impressed with the home run derby. But are you okay with Springer saying no and that it might screw with his swing?
I mean, hasn't this kind of been a trend in the All-Star game in recent years? A lot of these stars, it's not as necessarily worth it anymore to participate. I mean, I'm not necessarily surprised that George Springer decided not to. It does, in terms of a TV ratings standpoint, it kind of hurts. Because you want the biggest stars and the biggest storylines. But it's kind of been a trend for a while, hasn't it?
Some people blow it off. But, I mean, look, Springer, just from a build and from the way he goes about his business standpoint, is not one of those big, burly home run hitters. He's not Big Poppy. He's not Prince Fielder. He's not guys like that. And so I kind of side with him that when you start swinging for the fences, it can screw with your swing. And look, he's in a groove right now. He doesn't want to get out of it. I don't blame him.
And it's a similar excuse, I think, Altuve and Correa, or what's his name, is using that. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And that's the mentality that you see in a lot of sports, not just in baseball. So I'm okay with it. I have no problem with it.
Tyler,
I feel like it's almost extra practice for them.
Okay,
you know, extra BP. But at the same time, I mean, it is a grind of a season, and any few days off that these guys can get consecutively, then I think they should jump at the chance to kind of save their bodies, not necessarily save their swing, because I feel like if you're taking that many hacks and you're actually hitting a good deep home run or a monster shot like that, then you think it's almost like when you're golfing, right before you actually go out to play your round, you're putting and you want to hear the ball go into the hole, right? So if that kind of mentally sets you up, it mentally prepares you for the round, you think, okay, I'm going to drain some putts. If a guy's hitting 20, 25 home runs in one night, then you got to think that kind of mentally prepares them for the rest of the season, you know?
Right.
Well, I'll say this. I think more than anything else, when you're doing a home run contest like that, you're swinging hard you're swinging frequently, you're trying to yank everything out of the park, and it's gonna have its toll on you in terms of endurance, in terms of, you know, you're going to be gripping and ripping, and from even if it doesn't throw you out of your swing, it's going to exhaust you and drain you. And I'm with you, Tyler. I think even from a relief pitcher standpoint, this break couldn't be coming at a better time because the pen has been so exhausted by the starters. So, excuse me while I clear my throat.
713-780-3776. We haven't mentioned in a while. You need to go and download the app. Go to your ESPN, your local app store, whether it's Google Play or iTunes. Search ESPN Houston or ESPN 97.5. Download the app. Listen to all your favorite programming from anywhere in the world. You can also go to ESPN975.com as well. You recovered there, buddy?
I think I'm good. Yeah, that was a wicked tickle of the throat right there. But yeah, I think I'm good. So the Fondy Rec Center No Excuses Summer Pro League starts tonight too. So a lot of NBA guys are going to be participating in the summer league down at Fondy. We were scheduled to broadcast from there, and now it is up in the air because of signal issues and no internet connection.
Oh, okay. I think we're kind of going to pivot a little bit.
Yeah.
I think you'll still be out there, but you'll depending on if the signal is bad, then you'll just be doing a couple call-ins per hour. But if it's good, then we'll proceed as planned.
I'm also good with postponing it for another date so that we can do that, but that's just me. So we'll continue to fill you in on that. But regardless, get down to Fondy Rec Center tonight for the first of the many competitive games that are going to be taking place during the No Excuses Summer Pro League. It's basically, in my opinion, the third best league in the country behind the Drew League in L.A. and Rucker Park in New York. So check it out at noexcuses.com, but that's starting tonight as well. We'll hope to have Casey on at some point, who runs that league, to talk about all the NBA guys that are going to be taking part. We're going to step away for a quick second, take a few sips of water so I get my throat back, and we'll finish here leading up to the Blitz at 4 o'clock. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Of a master plan. Man, I'm bringing his paper faster than these little other.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
Dude, you got some work to do.
Why?
Tyler's killing it.
With the music? For sure.
Yeah.
Hands down. I was telling Barry that I got the Spotify account, but I have to sign in through my Facebook. And I didn't get one of those like username, password type deals. And I just refused to sign in through my Facebook on that computer. And that's why that's the excuse I'm going to use for my poor music.
Well, whenever I signed up for free Spotify, I was the same way. I didn't want to use Facebook. So I was just like, all right, screw it. Made up a similar username and password, and then my buddy convinced me to pay for it. Yeah, and I'm thinking like it's $10 a month, but at the same time, it's
totally
perfect.
Worth it. It's totally
worth it for this job, because I remember whenever I had the free account, like you got to cycle through songs, and then you get hit with an ad, and you're just like, oh
yeah.
Come on.
It's very Pandora-ish. If the free version, I don't like it at all. I didn't like it. I mean, I downloaded it and then I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then when I got because they had like a little promotion where it was like 99 cents for 3 months.
You got to put your marketing hat on, boys. This is things that should be expensed. This is the kind of thing that you need to utilize for your job daily basis.
No, they will.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Again, you need to confer with me on a regular basis.
You just got
to
get the
life
right
in general.
You got to get the right accountant. And yeah. They'll kind of ask you leading questions like, okay, so what do you do? Oh, I'm a sports radio producer. Okay, so do you have cable?
Sense.
You have ESPN?
Sense.
Oh, so we can write off your cable bill every month.
I don't even charge you a consulting fee, so therefore you should consult on a regular basis. It could help you and me.
This is kind of sad. I ain't going to lie. I've had opportunities for write-offs, and my lazy ass doesn't produce the receipts.
Indirectly,
I'm not lying.
Indirectly not lying. Now, help me.
Okay.
But this is not the first time this has happened. If you consult with me, I can make these things happen for you.
Well, I didn't know. You didn't even. Why didn't you bring this up before?
Because you didn't ask it. Mr. Know-It-All over there was telling you exactly what to do. Well, and you just follow whatever he said, so I just got out of the way.
Well, he kept telling me to get the Spotify account, and then I finally gave in. No one mentioned to me anything about write-offs or anything like that. I would totally take advantage of these things. I got to be schooled. I don't know what I'm doing in life.
I know you
got
to be schooled, but I'm trying to teach.
Okay.
I'm preaching and teaching.
I'm a sponge.
There you go. So dry, soak it up like a dry sponge on water, and you got this. Because I'm telling you right now.
Can we aggravate some people with like more basketball talk?
If you'd like, sure.
The Chris Bosh thing, I just feel bad for him. Just because.
So the Heat have reached an agreement on an insurance, because they're going to get it covered with insurance, but he has been cut by the Heat, and insurance will pay his salary, but they think he's done. He hasn't closed the door yet.
Because he was one of the names for a while, for a brief period, that the Rockets was, I guess they were potentially pursuing him.
I told you, I thought that they'd actually be wise to explore that as one of the things up Daryl's sleeve that he was promoting, because Daryl's always had a jonesing for Chris Bosh as it is, but that if he could get him on the cheap, he'd probably look at the perfect fit for the stretch four, especially if you unload Ryan Anderson.
So for those who don't know, he keeps having this recurring blood clot issue, and he just can't seem to get cleared by doctors to play. This was a potential landing spot. 51, I mean, I guess I don't necessarily completely feel sorry for him. I think he's one of those guys that want to play.
100 million reasons why you shouldn't feel sorry
for $51.8 million in pay. I guess that'll help ease the pain, but I mean, I don't want to play.
He almost has a Bobby Bonilla contract.
Kind of. 51.8. I'm sure that will help. I mean, but sitting on the sideline, he's still kind of a young dude. He's 33 years of age. And he's that type of that player that kind of fits the new trend. You know, he's like, I don't know if you call him a stretch four, but
he's a
shooter.
He can shoot the three. Here's the thing. The Heat have said, and Pat Riley came out, they're going to retire number one. Yeah, no one's ever going to wear it. And I was going to ask you guys, this is kind of like the Clyde Drexler thing. And y'all know I'm a Clyde guy. I've always loved Clyde. Clyde's been a friend of mine forever. But I was with Clyde in Portland. That's where his number should be retired. The fact that the Rockets retired his number after, 4 years, to me, makes no sense at all. But if Chris Bosh's number is to be retired, he should be a Toronto Raptor.
I mean, you've been pretty consistent on that argument since I met you. And yeah, it's just, I guess it's hard to go against the fact that they won championship rings in those teams. I mean, that's the only guess
this is kinda
I can
like
make.
When we talk about criteria for the Hall of Fame, is it how many rings you've won or the statistics that you've put out throughout your career? Because Robert Horry's averaged 7 points a game, and some people believe he belongs in the Hall of Fame. And then you've got people that get their number retired because they brought a ring to the franchise, i.e. Clyde Drexler in 4 years, i.e. Chris Bosh, where he did not spend the majority of his career. And there have been others. I just am a guy that believes that if you're going to not let anyone else on the planet ever wear the number that you wore for a franchise, you should have spent the majority of your career there doing good things.
I mean, that's probably something the NBA, if you really want that rule to take place, that's probably something the NBA has to take care of. I mean, because to a certain extent, this is kind of an event, right? When they say, okay, we're retiring, that's like an opportunity for them to make money when they retire a number.
It's each individual franchise's choice how they do this. But I've always been a proponent of the fact that, look, because of situations like the Celtics, like the Yankees, like long after all of us are on this planet, they're going to run into problems where they're going to run out of numbers in New York with the Yankees and in Boston
Yankees
with
don't
the
have
Celtics.
Any single digit numbers.
None.
Left.
After Jeter's got retired, 1 through 9 are no longer available. So you see guys wearing 74, 99 in the case of Aaron Judge. You see with the Celtics guys wearing crazy numbers like Jay Crowder wearing 99. So I would be more apt to tell you guys there should be a ring of honor like the Cowboys do.
Vikings
where,
have one.
Yeah, where you can just – the Packers have it too, where the number isn't necessarily retired. The Steelers – because I always cringe when I see guys wearing 88 and 82 and you know the numbers of the great Steeler players of the past. But the fact of the matter is then you're not in that predicament where guys are wearing like in the 90s and you're running out of numbers, but yet you honor the names that made that number famous in a ring of honor and other ways in the stadium.
I think football is a little different just because most numbers are associated with – or most sets of numbers are associated with certain positions.
With a particular position,
right. So you can't really retire 0 through 20 and then you're left with a running back number or middle linebacker number for a right. quarterback. Like, you have to kind of be careful about that. You're obviously not going to run into that anytime soon, but it still is kind of there.
Yeah, I think that's gonna, it's going to be a, it's going to get to the point where you're just going to see the numbers just get higher and higher, or you're going to do, you're going to see it like on TV where it's going to be like 23.1. Wouldn't that be funny if they did decimals? But
I was thinking about that. I was going to goof around with you guys today because of the fact that I was thinking about from the standpoint of Gordon Hayward and being the next great white hope in Boston, that maybe he could wear 32.5 so that he could be right between McHale and Bird and just get the 0.5 out of it. And then maybe that's a new number system, the Dewey Decimal System for the Celtics, and that would work for them. But I was kidding when I was, and I didn't bring it up, but now it kind of fits. Because at some point, you're going to get to the point where, like the Yankees, you're running out of numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a tradition that started so long ago, the whole retiring of numbers, and they just didn't foresee. It's like traffic here in Houston. Like, they make a new highway, and it's only two lanes wide when you know it's eventually going to get populated to the point where those two lanes are not going to be enough. Why did you only make it two lanes? It's like one of those situations. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else you're going to do besides changing the rules, because it's going to get to...
There doesn't seem to be a lot of foresight
exactly.
in the department. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because otherwise you're going to see... And then you know what else? Who else is going to be pissed off in basketball? Referees who are trying to make numbers in the high 90s, and they already have a hard time signaling in like 45s and 54s, but now they're going to be doing 99s and 97s. And, you know, Ron Artest and Dennis Rodman are like the exception to the rule, and now it's going to be like the consistent thing where everybody is going to be wearing... you know, a high-digit number. I think they got to do something about it, but we'll see what happens. Again, I'm just looking at it saying Chris Bosh should be retired as a Toronto Raptor. I don't think as a Miami Heat, but that's just me. Right now, I want to tell you and a lot of people that have been asking me, even on Twitter, about the fact that the No Excuses Summer Pro League starts tonight. If you got a family or you've got a budget and you want to see NBA talent play basketball, you love the sport, you love the game, but you don't have the money to be shelling out prices down at the Big Sequoia, well, I got a perfect solution for you. The No Excuses Summer Pro League starts tonight, and it's going to go on for the next couple months. They play Mondays and Wednesday nights, and it's absolutely free, and you are going to see the number one Pro-Am league in the state of Texas, as I said, one of the top three leagues in the country, and plenty of NBA talent. Look at the Clippers that are going to be playing, like Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell. How about Jonathan Simmons of the Spurs, Bobby Brown of your Rockets, Isaiah Taylor, also your Rockets, and former Rocket Isaiah Cannon, most recently of the Chicago Bulls, plus a lot more. Teams are adding NBA players daily as they get ready for the league, and the best part about it is the games are competitive. It's not just like the And-1 Mixed Tour. These are competitive, hard-fought, contested games between NBA-caliber players and guys trying to get to the league. And it's all free of charge. Go to noexcusesfoundation.net to find out more information. I'm going to be down there tonight, and whether I'm broadcasting live or doing updates, I'm going to tell you just how great it is. There's going to be a slam dunk contest, a three-point shootout, and more to kick it all off. But I'm telling you, if you want to see great NBA action in the offseason, head down to the No Excuses Summer Pro League at the Fondy Rec Center right outside downtown Houston.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Boy, the show's blown by again. Thanks again to producer T. Scott for filling in for you filling in for Barry, and of course Barry will be back to bitch tomorrow. So we will have
For those of you missing Barry complaining, it will start right at 101 tomorrow, 102.
Well, the world according to Barry is normally about 102.
Heavy on the 999 challenge hate.
It'll be interesting for sure, to say the least.
But the world according to Barry is between 101 and 111. So as it stands, I'm sure that the 999 challenge will come up.
Over under 180 pounds when he comes in at 1 o'clock, 103.
Go over.
Did you not see? He tweeted out that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, I think he gained 2 to 3 pounds.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Yes, he was going all overboard, and you were thinking it was going to be a big number, but I just don't know, especially for a guy his size. He always refers to him as Fat Bear. He's never been fat in his life, in my opinion. But the fact that just a five-day little binge is not going to put on, like, 15 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, unless you're Travis Johnson. Travis Johnson can do it in 24 hours.
Yeah, but he can consume a ton of calories. It's a difference with Travis, like a lot. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about the 25-pound remark. I think he can potentially do it in just a weekend just because how big he is. But yeah, Barry, I don't think Barry was ever an incredibly big boy. I don't either. He just kind of.
Tyler, you can probably attest to it more than most. Yeah. But Barry always says fat Barry days.
I think whenever we were talking about doing our challenge or weight loss challenge,
yeah,
he was in the 215 to 220 range.
Okay.
And then he got down to about 205, and then that's whenever he started thinking, like, okay, I really want to get serious about it and try and lose 20, 30
pounds. He wanted to get
into
a skirt before summertime?
Yeah.
Probably when he said 175, I was like, dude, you don't need to get down that low. And to his credit, I mean, he got there and got there fast. I just didn't think he needed to do it. But that's just me. All right, Benny wants to get in here before we get out of here on Jersey Numbers. Benny, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I have a personal little soapbox on this. I'll be quick, and I'll jump off the phone. That way y'all can talk about it. But I really think the problem we have here is we're being stuck with outdated, useless traditions. In baseball, when jersey numbers were first started, it was to identify what part of the batting order the person was in. It actually had, like, a scorebook purpose. I mean, now we put net last names on the back of jerseys, so we don't even need numbers to identify players. Basketball, if I'm not mistaken, it used to be the digit couldn't be larger than how many digits are on one hand, so the referee could signal to the score table numbers are.
Yep.
And that's all changed, and now they're putting they're starting to put advertisers on jerseys and uniforms in football. You had numbers representing the position. I mean, the player's eligibility was determined based on his number as to what position and what role he had within the play. I mean, now these teams are wanting to immortalize and idolize these players that have brought a lot of money and fame to their franchise, but really, if you want to read the history books of these sports, these guys, it's not as if there's dynamic, game-changing players for every team and every franchise, yet they're all getting this treatment like, oh, hey, we have the greatest athlete of all time, and he wore this number. And really, I don't even see the purpose why we have numbers anymore. With the technology we have, we know who's there. We know what position they are. There's not going to be a play we're going to miss. We can identify them, and we can keep it in the scorebook, but, you know, the Yankees retired two number eights. They've also retired a number 42 after Jackie Robinson had 42. And it seems, though, that...
And Mariano Rivera still wore it, so you can conceivably say they would retire two 42s because Rivera deserves to have his number retired.
I mean, right? Did they spit in the face of Jackie Robinson and the prestige they wanted to give it 42? Or did they just like, well, you know, maybe jersey numbers aren't as important as we want to make them out to be? I think it's a nice gesture for these teams to kind of show off. Like, hey, you did this for us, so we want to do this for you. But in terms of, like, the big picture, I mean, the Yankees are retiring Andy Pettit's number for admitting he took steroids, and they refused to do Roger Clemens, who didn't admit he took steroids, yet Clemens had a better career. I mean, the whole thing, to me, it's just stuck with outdated traditions. And I'll let y'all get back to it.
Thanks, Benny. Appreciate it. Good call.
Appreciate it, Benny.
Look, people have their own opinions on everything, from the Hall of Fame to numbers, you know, retired, and like I said, in Ring of Honor. Everything like that. But the bottom line is that he's right in the fact that things have changed. You're always going to remember who wore 23 for the Bulls, whether it's retired or not.
That's what I was getting at. I mean, I think he makes a legitimate point regarding the technology, but I think history shows that there's too many great players out there that are associated with numbers. Like, you think Michael Jordan, you think 23, that it's just hard to break away from that trend. That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, regardless of how you look at it, and then you retire a jersey league-wide like Jackie Robinson.
Right.
It's a great gesture, but it also takes one more digit off the board. So I'm not sure how you figure that out and solve that problem, but it's worth talking about.
Thanks, Tyler.
Tyler, thank you for your efforts on Monday and Wednesday. Nick, of course, thank you to you as well. Doing a great job filling in for Barry. Barry's back tomorrow, and we'll continue to roll out through the rest of the week, so please make sure you join us every Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here on ESPN 97.5, The Usual Suspects.
Menards 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors, the bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams, jobs. Save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.